From 99.9 The Fan, this is The Drive with Tim Donnelly. Sponsored by Coach Pete at Capital Financial Advisory Group. Visit us at CapitalFinancialUSA.com.
It's a hockey night in Carolina, and that's where we're going to start the show. Hockey night in Carolina means you can hear the Canes and St. Louis tonight right here on 99.9 The Fan. I'm always looking for these last three games, really the last 10 games. You can start doing it where you're looking for which team is motivated by what. If you're mathematically eliminated, as much as you say every game matters, you're going to be going out there with a different amount of enthusiasm. St. Louis right now is one of two teams in the Western Conference that are not either clinched for the playoffs or eliminated from the playoffs. It is them and Vegas, and guess what? They are 3 points behind Vegas with just a few games left to play, which means they are a caged animal. St. Louis understands that every win, every 2 points is wildly important. What does that mean to the Canes? It means this. You don't want to be in a fight with a caged animal and you're out there just trying to get to the end of the run, right? I've used this example in the past, but if you're playing out there in the neighborhood, right, you're out there with your buddies and you're playing, basketball pickup, you're playing some kind of dodgeball, whatever it is. If before the game starts, one guy goes, hey, everybody listen up. I have a piano recital tonight. I'm wearing my recital pants. I can't fall, right? I just can't get hurt. I can't break my fingers because I have a piano recital tonight. Is everybody cool with that? Guess who is 100% putting a hole in the knee of their pants and breaking a finger that day? It's the guy out there that's doing everything he can to not, right? Meanwhile, the person who's like, oh, I have nothing, they're going to come out scot-free, didn't trip once. The Canes can't go into this game thinking, don't get hurt. Just you know, do the basics. We want to win, but we understand our goals are bigger. If you go into a game against somebody that's playing like a caged animal and you're playing like you're prim and proper and already set for the postseason, that's when the catastrophes hit. You can't worry about the basics. The Blues and the Golden Knights are locked in a final down to the road game of chicken postseason match. The Canes are moderately aware of who they're going to play if the seeding changes in the postseason. It's two different mind spaces, but they have to go in thinking, build momentum, thinking how we play now sets the tone for how we're going to play a week and a half from now. Matter of fact, let's hear from Rod Brind'Amour, the head coach, on building momentum over these final road games.
I don't know. Yeah, I guess that's one way to say it. You know, that's the coach speech. That's certainly the way to talk about it. What's important is to keep doing it right, and for us to, you know, obviously you want to get better every day and working on the little things and set us up for whatever the playoffs start. So that's the way we got to look at it.
You want to hear a coach struggling against all struggle to not say, I really don't care how these next three games go. He's aware of it just like everyone else is aware of it. The Canes cannot be judged based on their regular season. They've done everything they can do in the regular season. This season is their third consecutive 50-win season in the regular season. It's all about the postseason. They just have to play three more games to get there, which puts them in a little bit of an awkward situation going up against St. Louis.
So this team is closer to the end of its season than at the beginning of the season, and it has gone through a metamorphosis of changes, whether it's in goal, whether it's trying to get Andrei Svechnikov and Sebastian Aho uncorked, which one has done so much, and Svech is coming on late, as you have seen, and you have prophesied that Andrei Svechnikov will certainly have this surge at the end of the season, which is good news for him. We're not talking about goalies anymore. We're talking about at the end of the season. And you talk about St. Louis being the caged animal, mm-hmm. right? The kid that's the they're going to come into this thing and come rolling at him. And Rod downplays that, right? Mm-hmm. He's like, you know, it's just the end of the year. We got to get going. Momentum. Yeah, you could talk about those kinds of things. Here's what happened last night in the NHL in the spoiler role. And the crazy part about the Carolina Hurricanes right now is that they are in the spoiler role. They are. Buffalo yep. came out last night, and I think the Canes could apply that tonight too. Be really physical with St. Louis. Buffalo last night pushed the Washington Capitals around so much, and the Capitals are in the same spot that the St. Louis Blues are in, trying to find themselves getting into that last wild card position in their conference. Buffalo came out and played smash-mouth hockey so much at the end of that game, It was a full 5-minute brawl involving short-time former Carolina Hurricanes forward Max Pacioretty, who was in there swinging and trying to defend his guy.
Who looked healthy.
Right. Regardless of what happens in that game, they are in that role. The New York Islanders also feel like they're in that role, too, trying to help out, you know, honestly trying to help out the Canes as they play the Rangers tomorrow. So you see the Canes in an interesting spot here where they're trying to downplay the momentum, but suddenly can find themselves, and I hate using the word bully, but kind of in that bully role where they can say, you know what, St. Louis, screw you. We don't want you in the playoffs. We'll do our own thing because we know we're going there.
You're right, because you can kind of play both sides of it there, where you can motivate yourself by the situation they're in. Right, you can be a competitor that's saying, well, why should we give these guys a free pass to 2 points and closing the gap on Vegas? That's not cool. But also, I do think how they play, like if they're the bullies in this one, I think it's more likely they're the bullies in game one of their postseason. Right. Part of it is, you know, you are what you repeatedly do, and you don't want to change what you repeatedly have done all year for the last three. So. You know, maybe the coach speak, there's a reason why it's coach speak, right? And Rod Brind'Amour is going, oh, we could get, yeah, momentum, sure. That's the coach speak. That's the speech I'm going to give in the locker room. A lot of times those coach speak things start with a grain of truth, which is, you know what? The teams that play well in the postseason are usually the ones that don't care if a game matters or not. They're just the competitors. They're the bullies. They just want to exert their dominance over somebody else because they're more dominant than somebody else.
Rod's looking at us in the media and us sitting here at the aluminum company
patting us on the head, right, and saying, oh, you cute media people.
Yeah, probably too, because if I put my small shoes into his larger shoes and I go, what's most meaningful for my team right now? Staying healthy, staying on the ice. Yeah, getting some wins. I'm okay with losses as long as it's not a bad loss and we don't look foolish out there and just get blasted or my goalies do something stupid. You know, play the right way, do the right things, because at the end of the day, when you get into the postseason, he doesn't care if it's a win on the road or if it's a win at home. He doesn't care if it's home ice advantage or they play everything on the road. He's like, a win is a win, no matter where we get it. We're going to play good hockey every single night in every one of these things because there are short-term memories in that locker room, and they know how close they were last year to taking one more step and playing two more weeks later into the summer.
I would argue this. I think there is a difference in this game than the past, but it's super minute, and it's pretty much only Rod, which means if you put Sebastian Aho, and we're going to use him as the example because he's Sebastian Aho. If you put Sebastian Aho on the ice, he doesn't know 80%, right? He knows Sebastian Aho's speed. I think you might have him on the ice for 17 minutes rather than 21 and a half, and that's a decision Rod can make to not throttle down, but make sure his guys are fresh. But then if those 4 minutes are going to Jack Drury, Jack Drury's on the ice for those 4 minutes, and he's going 100%. Whoever's out there is trying to do the best they can and not being protective, not trying not to get hurt, which I actually think usually leads to getting hurt, and you know, not a head on a swivel. So the guys that are out there are going to be trying to win. You know, St. Louis at home with what's on the stake for them is going to be bringing the noise, and I'm going to be watching, because when the noise is brought with the Canes, it's usually pretty darn entertaining. You can also hear it right here on 99.9 The Fan. As we said, it is a hockey night in Carolina. Does Rod Brind'Amour have something to prove? I want to be very clear on something before the Twitter lights up and the lines and everybody's mad. You can be very, very, very good and still have something to prove. The question isn't, is his job in jeopardy? The question isn't, is he the right guy to lead the Canes? It's more like, is he Peyton Manning in Indianapolis, right? Is it, you've done everything in the regular season. Can you win the big one? You still have to prove that. Is that where Rod Brind'Amour is? Because, you know, the stats that make it seem like they're in perfect position to go win a cup are also the stats that kind of make it seem like there's reason to worry if they're going to win the cup. They have 3 straight 50-win seasons, this being their third. That's a wildly unbelievable regular season accomplishment. Every other team that's won at least 3 consecutive seasons of 50 wins has a Stanley Cup during that time. So. There is, I think, something to prove there, right? And then you add in the side parts, right? You add in the nuance, which is his system, which he is known for, is exhausting. It is not the easiest one to play. You hear about it when veteran defensemen are brought in. It takes them 15 or 20 games to get used to the effort, the all-out, the leaving everything on the ice every night nature of their system. What else is pretty exhausting? Postseason hockey. You hear it from everyone that's ever played postseason hockey. It's exhausting. The intensity is up. You have to leave everything out there on the ice every night. If you multiply those, maybe the exhaustion becomes a little bit real. My point in asking this question is, we talk like, and we've done it a bunch this week. We've talked about Andrei Svechnikov. He has to play great in order for them to reach their ceiling. Yesterday, we called out Jack Drury as somebody that can take this Canes team. If he's producing points, you know, on that quote unquote fourth line, if he's producing points, he can take them from, you know, bonfire to throwing gasoline on it. And now it's, you got to call the fire department. There are players that we look at and we've called out. I don't know if calling out is the term, but I do look at Rod and say there's not much you haven't done, but the thing you haven't done is win the biggest games in the biggest moments. And we do it for players, right? The player who is great but can't win the big one is a cliche that gets talked about almost too much. So it's only fair that we look at a coach and say, you made the playoffs now six consecutive years. You've gotten a little bit better each time, but that little bit better has only gone to a point. It's the unfairness of sports. I want that to be clear. And what I mean by that is I would never in a million years consider moving on from Rod. I'm not, you know, if you listen to the show, and hopefully many of you have gotten to know my Canes thoughts by now, I'm a huge Rod Brind'Amour fan. At the same time, you know, what you haven't done is what you haven't done until you do it, right? My one of my coaches used to yell, until you're beaten, you're undefeated. And what that meant was, what he meant by it, and he would have to explain it to us because it does sound a bit Yoda-like, until you're beaten, you're undefeated is you can have a bad play, right? That doesn't mean you lost the game, right? Until you're beaten, you're still an undefeated team. So the little things matter and you have to focus on them, but once they happen, move on from them. Rod Brind'Amour, until you win the big one, you're still a coach that hasn't won the big one, right? The little things matter. All of the accomplishments you tallied up in the regular season over the past however many years are impressive, and they matter. But until they add up to a Stanley Cup, there's going to be something missing.
So he has a cup right now as a player.
Yes, I should have clarified that. All of that was as a coach.
Right, but I'm not. I'm only saying that because we have a. Within the studios where we have, there's a giant newspaper picture of him holding up Stanley Cup. We all know about Rod Brind'Amour.
I have two different Rod Brind'Amour posters in my cubicle.
Right, but here's what I want. I want you to chew on this one, and I think I know where you're going with this, but I want you to chew on this one because I did work in Las Vegas for a long time, and I understand how that team went, and they have a cup.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Winning seasons, every single season, right? Mm-hmm. The Vegas Golden Knights went to the Stanley Cup in year one. Now, that was magic. That was a magical ride. Gerard Gallant was the head coach of the Vegas Golden Knights when they went to the Cup in year one.
Mm-hmm.
It took them, they went to postseason. They kept going to postseasons, made trades, and went to the postseasons, but didn't win it. Vegas Golden Knights make a change. They change out Gerard Gallant, who is now the coach of the Rangers, went to the Rangers, for Peter DeBoer. Again, the NHL coaching carousel is weird. It's the same, like 100 guys.
Little retread.
They all just keep coming back around. Pete DeBoer comes in. Pete DeBoer coaches. Again, they win, but they can't win the big one. They cannot get past anybody getting into – they fall short. They fall short in the conference finals.
Mm-hmm.
They make another change. This is a winning franchise, right? I mean, young franchise, but they have now gone through three separate coaches. And finally, Bruce Cassidy takes them – and again, they played like eight different goalies. I'm exaggerating, but they played like four –
only a little bit.
They played like... four different goalies, but they won a Stanley Cup. But it was a hard choice for them to do because the public out there, when it comes to the hockey, and the same fans are here in Carolina, and I know it, they are looking at this team and they are looking at themselves and they're looking at Las Vegas and they go, they have a cup within 6 years. And they made two full coaching changes with coaches that won. The specialness that comes with Rod Brind'Amour is that he was a homegrown player. And you and I talked earlier about Mark Pope going to Kentucky and Scott Frost going to Nebraska and being able to take them to that next level. There's no doubt that Rod Brind'Amour is a successful coach in the NHL. But falling short of success this year, based on everything that we've heard, and you had Don Waddell on your program talking about, hey, we've pushed in. We think we have the nuts to go in and make this happen. Here's the better question. Does Rod Brind'Amour get a statue if he doesn't get a Stanley Cup as a head coach? Because that's what you're looking for. And it sounds like blasphemy, and I know where you're going, and I understand the argument with this. But we have seen recency bias, right? But it has worked in Las Vegas. Two full coaching changes, no losing seasons, and they have a cup to prove it.
It's a great point. And by the way, like Vegas, the ownership and everything was praised now that they've won one for being willing to always do whatever it takes to win and, you know, being comfortable, being uncomfortable.
Make
and
big
moving
trades and make big moves.
And they every year are all in. And most fans just want their teams to operate that way where every year they're doing everything you can. And the Canes have not done that until this year. Which is different, right? The Canes are always willing to make the big trade at the deadline to bring somebody in. The Knights are always willing to make the big trade. The Canes, this is really the first year. That Gensel trade felt different. It was a rental. It was a go win now. So I don't know if it's exactly apples to apples, but here's what I say in response to that. And it's why I think the Peyton Manning argument was good. You have to decide whether he's Peyton Manning and he hasn't won the big game, or whether he's Phillip Rivers and he's never won the big game, right? It's, and no disrespect to the NC State legend. I'm just saying, like, you don't want to get caught on a treadmill of mediocrity where you're too good to move on from, but never good enough to get over the hump. But you also have to acknowledge when a bad breaks or it was this, it was that, and that's why it hasn't happened. I believe Rod Brind'Amour is more on the Peyton Manning side of it, which is he's really gosh darn good. And he will get one, but even in that case, like, you still got to prove it, right? Even in that case, I'm still going into every postseason. You have a chip on your shoulder. You better be, doing absolutely everything you can, and you better be trying new things, and you better, the differences. And I'll just stick with that same example. The Colts put together a defense that was top 10 in the league, and they won a Super Bowl. Up until then, they didn't have it. This is the year where Rod Brind'Amour's defensive system now has the offensive firepower. They bring in Gensel, they bring in Kuznetsov, and obviously some guys have leveled up, Seth Jarvis and a few others. This is the first year to me where there truly is, I don't want to say no excuse, but it's like, if you don't do it this year, you start to ask more questions. No questions are being asked right now, even though literally the question I started with is, does he have something to prove? It's different questions. The questions have different vibes, I guess, if you don't win this season. And also, and I'll throw this out there. You know, everyone I know that follows hockey says the Stanley Cup Finals are more of a crapshoot. I don't know if that's not the Stanley Cup Finals, the entire Stanley Cup playoffs are more of a crapshoot. I don't know if I'm buying that, because it does seem like the greats always get their handful of cups before they move on. I don't know if that is, you know, just if you're good for 12, 15 years, you're going to get your three. But the Canes need to get their one because they've been good for 5 or 6 years. And that's kind of the time frame, right? If you're good for 6 years and you don't get one, you start asking why. The Canes were, I mean, the Knights, you brought it up, right? You're looking at 6 years, right?
And
you get your one. If you're good for 12 years, you get your two. Is it 6-1? Is that the ratio? Maybe, but the question of does Rod have something to prove to me is a yes. The question is, are there other questions to ask beyond that? My answer is not yet. Maybe there will be one day. The Drive with Tim Donnelly, 99.9 The Fan. Time to update you on what's going on at the Masters. Check the live leaderboard from the Masters, teed up by Treyburn Country Club. The Triangle's Golf Escape. Looking at the top, it's still Bryson DeChambeau. He is through 14, even on the day, one stroke clear of it is a great leaderboard.
Let's go.
Max Homa and Scottie Scheffler are tied for second, one stroke off the lead. Max Homa's in the clubhouse through round two. Scheffler's on the eighth. So he's chasing DeChambeau 8 holes back, 1 stroke back, which is going to be a really exciting deal. And then other places, I mean, Morikawa is tied for 6th. Ludvig Åberg, who's one of the very trendy picks, is tied for 8th. Patrick Cantlay tied for 8th. Matt Fitzpatrick, a major winner, tied for 8th. There's a lot of guys that can get really, really interesting on this this leaderboard. And as we said earlier, we'll give you the Woods update. Tiger Woods tied for 25th. Has not played golf really at all this season. He is tied for 25th in the clubhouse after the second round. The doubters out there are having to eat some crow today. And by the way, you can go find it. There's clips on social media of him getting icy hot applied to his back in the middle of the round. And when he lifted his shirt, there's wraps and bandages and everything. The guy is quite literally being held together. Maybe not quite literally, quite figuratively being held together by duct tape and chewing gum. And he's going to make the cut at the Masters by a considerable margin, not on the number, for the 24th consecutive time. Give that guy his flowers. That's all I'm going to say. And I'm a big Tiger fan, and I know everybody out there has their other things, but give that guy his flowers.
At WakeMed MyCare 365, we deliver convenience others only talk about every day of the year. Primary care and urgent care under one roof. Multiple locations, virtual visits, walk-in or schedule an appointment online. From annual physicals and routine care to sinus infection, strep, or the flu, we couldn't be more convenient. Learn more about our kind of care and our kind of convenience at wakemed.org.